Evening.
What a blessing to be here with you tonight, this week. I have been looking forward to it. Bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's because of him that we're here. And what an awesome opportunity to come and spend some time with you this week.
I do appreciate your prayers as we go throughout this week. It's nothing that I can do here on my own, but I want to be a vessel of God, used of him to accomplish his will here among you folks at Shenandoah this week. I always, when a visiting minister comes into our congregation, I like when he maybe introduces himself a little bit. Maybe I would begin by sharing a little bit about who I am. Dale mentioned that we've known each other for many years. It goes back to the Ball Diamond, I believe, probably, as we played lots of ball together. We were on different teams, and so it was we were against each other back in those days. Now we're on the same team. Praise the Lord. But he also mentioned that Connie went to school, was in the same class as my wife. That is true, but I was also in that same class. Yes, I would have went to school with Connie back at Ephraim Mennonite. But as Dale said, I am a pastor at Word of Life. I was ordained back as a deacon at Faith Mennonite Fellowship back in 97, I believe it was. So it feels like it's been a long time since I've been in the ministry. I've been, I think it was 2005 that I was ordained as minister then. And been serving, and it's been a blessing. My wife and I have been, we'll be married, I think, 34 years it is, till this August. So we've been hanging around each other for a long time as well, even back to grade school. But we have three children. Our two oldest daughters are married. Amber is the oldest. She's married to Austin Martin. They have three children, another one on the way. And Austin is serves as pastor at Faith Mennonite Fellowship. Our second daughter, Amy, is married to Aaron Fonestock. They live in Bradford. So we have a little distance to travel to see them. They've been living in Bradford since shortly after they're married. They have three children and another one on the way. So our family is growing quite rapidly. And Aaron also serves as pastor at Bradford. Our youngest is Andrew. He's still at home. He works for me in our small business. And there's two things about Andrew that I kind of joke about, and it's kind of a standing joke in our family. If you caught some things about our family, Amy and Aaron, it's Amber and Austin. So it's all A's. And so we are looking for a single young lady whose name starts with A. We need to get him married to an A. The second thing that we were trying to do is we're all pastors, so we need to get him ordained some way, shape, or form as well. I say that jokingly, of course, but it's been a blessing. Our family is a blessing, walking with the Lord. For me, I haven't made it real far in life. I grew up in the small town of Rothsville, and I'm still there. I haven't left town yet. Grew up there, still live there. And about the time that I was born, my father started a lawnmower repair shop. And so I grew up with grease under my fingernails. I loved to come home from school, and I would change clothes, and I would be out in the shop with Dad, and I would tear the engines apart, and he'd put them back together. And so I grew up tinkering on engines, and that's still what I do today. I don't know how to do anything else, and so that's what I do. My father started the business. He is still part of it, and we have a small family-owned Musser's Lawn and Garden, that's what I do, sell and service lawn equipment. And it's kind of hard to preach a week of meetings and not reference that at some point in time, so you'll probably hear references to lawnmowers along the way. But that's who I am, and I'm looking forward to getting to know you folks this week as well. So it's good to be here. As I was thinking about this week of meetings, thinking about, well, why am I here at Shenandoah? And why are you here tonight? What are your expectations? Why have you come together tonight? What are you anticipating here this week? Now, I suppose that you're probably here tonight because you are a faithful, a dedicated church member. You love the Lord, and you're committed to the Lord, and of course, church doors are open. We're there, and I appreciate that, and that's good. But I was thinking about, you know, revivals, and what is revivals? Why do we have revival meetings? Revivals is kind of defined maybe as a time of spiritual renewal. It's a restoration to life, to vigor, to strength, a spiritual awakening. Revivals is about stimulating our spiritual lives. Revivals is something that I believe it's an ongoing need in our lives. It's not something that we experience revivals at some point in time and now we're good for life. We go on. But revivals is something that we need it continually. We need it over and over. You see, we are of a fallen nature. And we have this tendency in our Christian lives to sometimes digress. And we sometimes slip and we fall. We falter in our Christian lives. We cool off, maybe, if you will. We cool off in our spiritual fervor. And so we need revivals to bring that back, to get us excited and to be excited about our Christian life. And I recognize we all have our ups and downs. We have our times when it feels like the Lord is closer than others. I think that's part of the journey. And so again, I was thinking through all of this, and that's why we're here tonight, because we're of a fallen nature. Even though, yes, maybe we are, you know, we're faithful, we're active in the church, we're doing God's work, we still need revival. It's a little bit like our spiritual lives are a little bit like a campfire. You know, if you have a campfire burning, you put some wood on their fire, you get this fire burning good, but if you don't continually feed the fire, what's going to happen? It begins to die, it begins to go out. And revival meetings is a time where we can throw some more wood on the fire, just like any other church service. You can have the same effect. But that's what we want to do here tonight. Revival is an ongoing need in my life and each of our lives. And so this week, my heart's desire is that would be our experience, that we would experience revival, a spiritual renewal. I invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 is a verse that I would like to use this week as our theme verse. And tonight I want to spend our evening thinking about what this verse is saying. And my theme for the week really is about our passion for God. Renewing our passion for God. And if you want a title for our message tonight, that would be it. Renewing my passion for God. That's kind of my theme for the week, and that's my thrust here tonight. Tonight I'd like to think about this concept of passion. We like to look at an illustration of passion and then maybe kind of conclude by thinking about how can I increase that passion in my life? Well, how can I attain a greater passion for the Lord in my life? And so here in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, it says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And I'd like to think a little bit about the what here of this verse. And what is it talking about? What is the focus of this verse? I believe the focus of this verse is the end where it says serving the Lord. So this verse here is talking about us serving the Lord. The idea of serving is that of being a slave, or to do service, to obey, to submit, to yield obedience, to yield to give up oneself to. To serve is taking up our cross and following. And that's what we as Christians do, right? Our Christian life is about serving the Lord. Serving. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, it says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." The call is that we would serve God acceptably. And isn't that your heartbeat tonight? Isn't that your desire, is to serve God and to serve God acceptably? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says that we cannot serve two masters. We can only have one master in our lives that we're serving. It goes on and it says, "For either we will hate the one and love the other, or else we will hold to the one, despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. Our text verse here, it's calling us to serve the Lord. We want to serve the Lord. We're not serving two masters, we're serving the Lord. Romans 12:11 tells us how to do that as well. It tells us how we should be serving. It says that we are to not slothful in business. And I'd like to define those words a little bit to help us understand what Paul is saying here. This idea of slothful is the idea of lazy or sluggish, lagging or lacking, having or showing a disposition void of exertion. A disposition void of exertion. Somebody who is slothful is just someone who does not exert themselves. They're lazy, is a good way to put it. And so we are not to be lazy in business. Does that mean at work, in my business, I'm not supposed to be lazy? Well, if we look at the word business here, it has a different meaning. If we go back to the Greek, it has the idea of earnestness or diligence, haste, eagerness. The New King James Version would say, not lagging in diligence. Not lagging in diligence. That's how we're supposed to serve the Lord. So not lagging in diligence, serving the Lord. In other words, we're to be diligent about our serving the Lord. We're to be passionate about serving the Lord. We're to give it our all. So not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit. Let's think about those words a bit. The idea here of fervent means to be hot, to boil, to glow. It has the idea of earnestness. Webster would say very hot, glowing, exhibiting or marked by great intensity of feelings. Zealous. Some synonyms that the dictionary gives is eager, enthusiastic, passionate. There's my word. Passionate, zealous, fanatical. Fanatical. Passionate. I like the word passion. Passion has the idea of strong and barely controllable emotions. It's the driving force in our lives when we're passionate about something. It's what motivates us. And so it says that we are to be passionate in spirit. Another word that kind of describes that fervent is the idea of zeal. And Scripture uses the word zeal a number of different times, and it has kind of the same idea of fervent. It has the idea of excitement of mind, fervor of spirit. Dictionary would say that zeal is fervent or enthusiastic devotion, often extreme or fanatical in nature. Strong feeling of interest and enthusiasm that makes someone very eager or determined to do something. Fervent in spirit. We're to be passionate in our spirit, serving the Lord. The idea of spirit, I believe that's talking about our inner being, our heart, our soul, our mind. So we are to be not lazy in our diligence. We're to be passionate in our spirit, serving the Lord. The New King James, again, it says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The NIV would say, never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And my Musser edition of that verse, don't be lacking in your zeal. Be passionate in your spirit, serving the Lord. Friends, where are you at tonight? Does that describe you? Are you passionate about serving the Lord? Is serving the Lord exciting? Is it what motivates you? It's my heartbeat that it is for you. For each one of us. Thinking about an illustration of someone who was passionate or was passionate, I thought of the Apostle Paul. I think he is a good example. In Philippians chapter 3, and if you want to turn there with me, you may. Philippians chapter 3, Paul here, he's talking about his life and he talks about how he was circumcised the eighth day. He was the stock of Israel. He was a tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And basically he's going on and giving this list of qualifications that he had, that he was the it. He was the one. He had all the right upbringing, all the right teaching. He had it all. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law. He was a Pharisee, concerning zeal. He was persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is the law. He was blameless. He had it together, or so he thought. But then he continues on in verse 7. He says, but what things were gained to me, I count loss for Christ. He said, all those things that I thought that I had it together, he said, they're worthless. He says, I count them as loss. He says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. All of those things are worthless. I count them as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. He says, rather, I now have a passion and a zeal for Christ. It's all about Christ in my life. And he goes on. He says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. It was all about Christ in his life, about serving Christ. And he says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. His desire was to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. I am pursuing Jesus Christ. I follow after, if that which I may apprehend, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I see Paul here, he is passionate about following, about serving Jesus. He says, I am pressing towards that mark of that prize, the high calling in Christ Jesus. Paul was passionate. Tonight I ask the question, what is it that gets you excited? What excites you? What is it that keeps you up at night because you are all excited about what's going to happen tomorrow? You know those sleepless nights you just can't settle because you're excited about something. What is it? What pushes your passion button? Back in the days of softball, I loved to play softball. And I'm not sure if you would call it passionate or not, but I mean, my young years, it was summertime, it revolved around playing softball. I was passionate about playing softball. Not long ago, we came through the Super Bowl, football, the big highlights of football. Maybe you don't follow football at all, but, you know, I saw some pictures of fans that dress up in these weird costumes. They paint their faces and they jump up and down and they're screaming and yelling in the stands. They're passionate about football. What are you passionate about? I had to think again back to some of my younger years. I used to be involved with the local volunteer fire company. And my dad was, my brother was, and so I grew up in that. And there was another passion that I had. You know, the tones would go off any time of the day or night. Middle of the night, the beeper would go, there's a fire call, and our house would just light up. I mean, we were out of bed, and as fast as we could dress, the firehouse was about a 300-yard sprint across the ball diamond, and we were, who could get there first? Could we be the first ones there? And it got you pumping. You got the adrenaline flowing. There was passion there. What are you passionate about? Maybe it's hunting. Maybe we have some hunters here that, you know, there's that big buck out there. You've been watching him. You know he's there. It's the night before opening day and you can't sleep. You're thinking about that. The next day you're out there. You're in your tree stand. You hear that rustle behind you, you know he's coming. And your heart starts pounding and you start shaking. And maybe you don't identify with that. I'm not a big hunter, but I know what that's all about. I realize, ladies, I'm talking about all guy things here. And I don't know what ladies get passionate about. Maybe it's shopping or whatever. But my question is, what is it? What is it that gets us passionate? Where is our passion button? You know, what's passionate, what we are passionate about is important to us. We make time and we make energy to do, to be involved in what we're passionate about. You know, we say that when we do all these crazy stuff, these people who act all weird at the football games, we say, well, that's just normal. That's passion. It's okay to act like that. But tonight I ask the question, is it okay to be passionate and excited about serving our Lord? Is it okay to be a fanatic in serving our Lord? You know, sometimes we look at people and we say they're a fanatic. They've gone off the deep end. They've lost it. A fanatic is one who is marked by excessive enthusiasm and often intense, uncritical devotion. Does that describe your serving the Lord? We have sports fanatics. We have hunting fanatics. We have fireman fanatics, shopping fanatics. Is it okay to have a Jesus fanatic? Is there anything like being excessive when it comes to serving Jesus? No. So are you passionate about serving the Lord? My guess is that probably all of us could say, you know, we could improve. We could get better. There could be more passion in our lives for serving the Lord. And so how do we get there? What's the journey to become passionate, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord? How do we get there? There's a verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. I believe there's some keys here in this verse that would help us in our passion. First of all, he says, my people who are called by my name. That's Christians. That's you and I tonight. He's talking to us as Christians. And he says, what we need to do is we need to humble ourselves. We need to spend time in prayer. We need to seek the face of God. And we need to turn from our wicked ways. If there's sin in our lives, we need to turn. And God says, then I will hear. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive. And I will hear, forgive, and heal. And so as I thought about this, these requirements here, these things, some other areas that I thought about. Some steps for me to take, some steps for you to take. If I want to increase my passion. And the first thing I thought about, it would be good for us to evaluate. To stop and think about our lives. Think about your life. Think about your Christian life. And do this in humility, do this in prayer, and may this be our experience here this week. With a heart that is seeking God, that we would stop and we would take a look at our lives and ask ourselves some serious questions. And maybe we need to begin by asking, how am I doing? How is my relationship with the Lord? How is your relationship with the Lord? You know, I don't know what the questions are that you ask here when you have counsel. But at Word of Life, you know, the question is, you know, how is your relationship with the Lord and your fellow man? Are you at peace? So how is your relationship with the Lord? How is your relationship with fellow man? What is your spiritual life like? Evaluate it. Are you where you want to be? If you were to take inventory and look at your spiritual life and reflect back to a year ago or 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever, and look where you're at today, have you grown? Could you say that your passion for serving the Lord has increased? Or have you slid back? Is it not quite what it used to be? Evaluate. How are you doing? What's going on in your spiritual life? I encourage you to ask yourself those questions. Think about those questions. Tonight, here, now, and throughout the rest of this week. Where am I at? How am I doing? After you evaluate, think about where you're at, then let's identify. So if you say, I have room to grow, I could be more passionate about my serving the Lord, then let's identify the problem areas. What is keeping me from getting there? What is holding me back from growing and becoming more passionate? What is keeping me from excelling with my walk with the Lord? What are the hindrances that are holding me back? Lord willing, this week, we're going to look at some areas that I'm calling passion zappers. Things that zap our passion, that hinder our passion. You know, we have bug zappers that will zap a bug and it kind of takes care of them. Well, I think there's things that come into our lives that are passion zappers. There's things that hinder us from growing and experiencing the passion that God would have us. And so we need to identify those. We need to look into our lives and identify what is it that's zapping my passion for serving God. Maybe it's an area of sin. Maybe it's a bad habit. Maybe it's not something bad. Maybe it's something good, but it's too much of it. You know, sometimes too much of a good thing is a bad thing. What is it that is zapping our passion? We need to ask God to search our lives. As the psalmist did, David in Psalm 139, verses 22 and 23, David cries out, he says, "Search me, O God. Know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And then lead me in the way everlasting." Can you say that prayer with David tonight? God, search my heart. What is it in my heart? What is it in my life that is hindering me, that's holding me back from passionately serving you? What's hindering me from growing? So we evaluate. Then we identify. When we've identified, then we're called to repent, to do a turnaround, to make a change, to do a 180 from those areas that God shows us. Repentance, it involves acknowledging, confessing, asking God for forgiveness. And we could go to Psalm 51 and we see that entire picture as David cries out to God in a prayer of repentance. He begins, he acknowledges, he says, I acknowledge my transgression. He says, I have sinned. And then he goes on and he asks God for forgiveness. He cries out to God. He says, blot out my transgressions. He asks God to wash him thoroughly. Cleanse me, he says. Purge me. Again, he says, wash me. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore. That's repentance. That's repentance. Crying out to God. So we evaluate, we identify, we repent, and then we make a commitment. We drive a stake. And we say, you know what? With God's help, I want to move forward with a new passion to serve Him totally and completely. I want to serve God in faithfulness. I want to love God totally and completely. Heart, soul, mind, body. I want to daily take up my cross and follow Him. I want to present my body as a living sacrifice. God, here I am. I'm all yours. As it says in Romans 12:1. And then Joshua's statement. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's commitment. That's commitment. How is it with you tonight? Are you where you want to be in your spiritual life? If you were to rate your spiritual life on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being a passionately serving the Lord, 10 being that fanatic, 1 being, well, maybe just barely getting along, barely making it, where would you put yourself? Where is your passion? Are you okay with where you're at? Wherever you're at on the scale, are you okay there? Is God okay with you there? Or does God want to take you on a journey to a greater passion? Tonight, as we close, I'd like to give a twofold invitation. First of all, if you know tonight that you are not where you should be, you know that you have room to grow, and you want to grow, maybe you're not sure exactly what's holding you back, why you're not flourishing in your Christian life, why you're not as passionate as what you could be, but you know that there's more to be had. I'm going to invite you to stand as we sing. Just stand where you're at, saying, you know what? Lord, I want more of you. I want a greater passion of serving you. The second part of the invitation is maybe you're at that same place. You know you're not where you want to be. And you've already identified what's holding you back. You know what it is. And tonight you want to take care of that. You want to take care of business with God and say, God, you know what? There's this area in my life. I repent. I confess. I'm going to ask you to come forward and kneel here at the front, and someone will pray with you. So tonight, if you're just acknowledging that you want to, you've got room to grow, you want to be more passionate, stand with me. I'm going to be standing too, because I have room to grow. And again, if you know what's holding you back, I invite you to come front. What will an invitational song be?
The song's Faith and Praise, number 948.
948. We're going to sing just two verses, and if the Lord spoke to you, I invite you to stand, to come forward, whatever God has spoken to you about tonight. Let's sing.
I every song knows.
Thank you for your response. God sees your heart. God knows your desire. And I believe that if we come to Him and we say, God, you know what? I want that passion. I want to serve you. He will make a way. He will work in our hearts and our lives. So God bless you. I don't know what all God will have for us this week, but I trust that at the end of these meetings, we will have a greater passion to serve God. That's my desire for each one of us. Thank you for being here tonight. May God bless you. Continue to pray that God would have His will and His way. Tomorrow night, I understand, is community night. Maybe we'll probably deviate a little bit from the whole theme of passion. But we'll come back and visit that again. Come praying that God would do a mighty work in our lives. So again, thank you for being here tonight. Let's just have a benedictory prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for your goodness. Father, I thank you for your word that you give to us, that encourages us, that draws us to yourself. And Father, tonight, you've seen each one of the heartbeats of my brothers and sisters here, their desire to know you, to serve you passionately. And God, I pray that they would be able to do that. Father, that if there's areas in their lives that are holding them back, Father, that you would show that to us this week. God, that we could be freed from those hindrances, those things that zap our passion for serving you. And God, that we could go forward and that the world around us would be able to see that we've been with Jesus and that we have just a greater step, a height to our step. And Father, that we would have a joy radiating from our faces. God, that we could make a difference in the lives that we meet. So God, thank you for this opportunity to be together tonight. May you go with us. May you dismiss us with your grace and your mercy. Keep us in your care. And bring us back together safely tomorrow night, if it's your will. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.